beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy opening day, North America. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It is the DA show on this Thursday. DA taking the day off. It's me, Mraz, with Bogish. Pete the Body's here. James Boccioni's here. Kaplan's cranking at Watch DA and on Twitch. We got it all covered. And Bogish, like we started at the top of the show, a hat tip and a round of applause to NASCAR, to the PGA Tour, to Bundesliga, the Premier League, heck, Korean baseball, now the MLS. We have along the way of this long and bumpy road that we are still very much in here in a pandemic, as sports fans, gotten at least a little taste here or there. The Last Dance was another one of those moments. And tonight, of the four major sports, we get a return for Major League Baseball on opening day. Sure, it's going to look different. There'll be cardboard cutouts places. There'll be some personnel sitting behind the stands. Nothing will look as normal as it used to be, but still a sense of normalcy as much as it can be. Baseball on our TVs tonight, Bogish. I am, for at least a night, and hopefully going forward, going to be able to somewhat be able to just kind of relax my mind over the horrors of 2020 and everything that's come with it and enjoy some baseball that counts. And I, for one, love that. It represents summer, and it feels like summer really has finally arrived with some baseball tonight.
I wish, and I understand why Bob Nightingale laid it out for us correctly, and I wish it wasn't the reason for it. I'm all geeked up that at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I can be in my backyard, grills on, beers in hand, TVs on, and I'm watching the Mets in the sun, probably right, lose to the Braves. But that being said, I wish we had that more to look forward to. I mean, it really would have been great if there were every day there was afternoon baseball to plop down in front of and watch, but I'll take it wherever I can get it. I'm glad that baseball, I don't know if, for some reason, baseball feels like, and I guess football would too as well, like the buildings are so much part of the experience, and even whether you're at home or whatever, like we need, like imagine the Cubs not playing their home games at Wrigley, right, because we were in some kind of Texas, Florida, Arizona bubble. So it's going to be empty, and I'll be honest, like it spooked me a little bit watching these exhibition games every time a ball went in the stands and there were empty seats. Like it reminded me like what was really going on, and like maybe we could be better and further along than we are right now, but it was still a baseball game, and I think I'm going to feel different when the games matter. Like there's only so, like it was great that baseball was back, but there's only so much caring I can have about an exhibition game when we don't really care about the outcome. Now that the outcome's going to matter starting tonight, I think some of that stuff's going to go away, and again, I could use Gerrit Cole not dealing on national TV tonight, but otherwise, I couldn't be happier that baseball is here. It's my first love. It makes you feel like summer's real. Hopefully it makes us feel and actually gets us to a place where things are better in general. And hopefully, you know, your team does a pretty good job of playing and winning baseball games for you this season, because we certainly don't need any extra added heartache that your team stinks and is falling apart and is punching the gut like it normally does. But it's bound to happen to some of us, unfortunately.
Well, I got news for you, Bogus. Tonight, as a Yankee fan, if Max Scherzer's dealing and this team's down 3-0 in the eighth, the curse words are going to fly out of my mouth. It'll be right back to normal. Right back to
normal.
Well,
I mean, just a relative year ago, technically longer, but the first week or two of last season when you were gleefully and proudly and defending yourself into shaming Giancarlo Stanton for being terrible immediately. So I'm fully prepared to do a show with you tomorrow angry because Max Scherzer and the Nats won 3-1 last night, outdueling Gerrit Cole, and Stanton was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, leaving 8 men on base. I can't wait.
Regardless, it's going to be refreshing. Tomorrow morning, Bogus and I back with you here on the DA show, and we're going to break down baseball tomorrow. Like, we are going to be able to talk about a game.
Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about enough Dodgers-Giants, although full disclosure, that game, when it ends at 1 a.m. Eastern and we got to get up in 4 hours or 3 hours after that, sure, that's going to be tough on Bogus and I, but we'll be able to talk some baseball. We'll talk about how it looked, how it felt. Can we get into this for 60 games? So that is all to come tomorrow. But since it is opening day, Bogus, something I always love doing around March is looking through, all right, what teams do you like? What are the bold predictions? Who's your World Series pick? It's just, we've done so much for 4 months on, can you have fans at games? Can you not have fans at games? When will sports happen? Is it safe to return? Okay, we could do a little free agency here, but ultimately, when are we going to return? What's the return to play look like? Now that we actually have games, and we have something to talk about, and people are tuning in here on sports radio, let's break down some sports. And with that, we got over-unders, we got a World Series pick, and we each, for a 60-game season where something bound or wacky's bound to happen, we got some predictions, fellas. Let's go. Let's look ahead to the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Bogus, I'm going to go with three over-unders, and why don't we go one for one here and kind of give a little thoughts. And now this is what really makes us wild and fun. 162 games, you know, we're so used and so accustomed to that if you're gambling to look ahead. And the over-unders, if you don't know, is how many wins will the team have? Are they going to go over that win total or under? We'll give our reasons why. I'm going to start with an under for me, Bogus, at 31.5. The Wizard of Watch DA's Boston Red Sox. Look, the Red Sox don't have Chris Sale. They traded away Mookie Betts. They traded away David Price. That's a team that, for a World Series contender so many years in a row, stripping this thing back down. Yes, they still have talent, Devers and Benintendi and such. They're going to struggle this year in the worst way. The Yankees and Rays, I think, are going to smack the heck out of them. That's a tough NL East that the American League East is going to be playing back and forth. To say that that team at 31 wins is going to go over 500, because remember, it's a 60-game season, obviously, I think it's too much to ask. I'm going under on Red Sox, 31.5.
That's a good one. I would agree for sure. I'm going to stay in the American League with my first one. I'm going to go to the Angels here. This is a team that I am super intrigued by. I forgot that they had added Anthony Rendon until Rendon had a strained oblique, is now missing opening day. But they've got the best player in the world in Mike Trout. And they've got Shohei Ohtani. Now, Sean, I don't know exactly what the numbers will be. I don't know how he's going to pitch once a week, DH the rest of the time. But we are going to see in this short sample size of 60 games and maybe more for them, I think one of the more remarkable feats that we're ever going to see in baseball is this guy being an elite pitcher and an elite hitter at the very same time, which gets me to, they're pegged at 31 wins. It will not be an easy one. I'm going to take the over on the Angels at 31 wins. It might only be, you know, 33, 35, but they're going to surprise a couple of people, and they're going to keep themselves in this AL West race, the strength of those three guys on offense and a little Ohtani pitching as well.
All right, that's pick number two. Well, first for Bogus, here's my second over-under pick. And I'm sorry, National League fans, I'm sticking with the American League, the third straight American League one here on the show. We have alluded to this story throughout the show, and that's the Blue Jays don't have a home, Bogus. I mean, here we are, opening day's tomorrow, and I know they're not scheduled to play at home tomorrow, it's not until next week, but they've already been kicked out of an entire country. They now have gotten kicked out of Pittsburgh. They're being told, basically, the minor league stadiums don't have the lighting. How is it, and how am I supposed to take a team, by the way, with a lot of young talent who I thought could surprise in a 60-game season originally, with absolutely no focus, not knowing where they're going to be, and there's even some thoughts if they have to go total road games, even if they're technically the home team in those games, that some players may decide, you know what, now I'm opting out because I don't feel like being on airplanes and trains all season long.
Right.
They're pegged at 27.5, which is just under 500. I think the once promising situation of the Blue Jays is going to completely crumble. I don't know how mentally they could survive this. Give me the Jays under 27.5 for pick number two for me.
Well, long story short, I know a lot about Charlie Montoyo, their manager, and I think he's going to do a good job of managing them no matter where they play, getting them as close as possible to the right place, you know, the right mind frame. But yeah, it's still going to be tough in that division too, seeing the Yankees and Rays a bunch as well. So I think you're in a good direction there. I'm going to jump to the NL now, pick number two for me. The Cubs would be my pick. Bob Nightingale mentioned them a second ago. They'd be my pick. I still don't really understand all of the reasons why they have not been as consistently good as they should have been since their World Series. But a lot of those guys are there, are still there, are trending in a good direction right now. So I'm going to go with the Cubs, an over on 32.5 wins in the NL Central.
All right, pick number three. I'm going to go to the National League here. That NL East is a tough division. The Braves are excellent. The Phillies are excellent. The Marlins are garbage, but they could be spunky. The Nationals are defending World Series champs. Look, guys, hate the rain on your parade. I'm going Mets under 31.5 here. Look, Marcus Stroman now is banged up with his calf. You heard Bogus compare his own injury.
Yeah, that's
JV
the difference.
To Stroman. They earned, and I think people forgot this because we've been such a long layoff. What was going to make the Mets special this year was going to be the fact that, okay, Yoenis Cespedes is back. They're going to have the really good pitching. They already lost Noah Syndergaard for the year back in spring training. Now Marcus Stroman, who knows when that calf's going to pop up and be okay. Jacob deGrom is the best pitcher in the National League. Second best pitcher in baseball, obviously, to Gerrit Cole. We all know this. But I think the Mets ultimately are just not going to have the starting pitching behind deGrom to go through this 60-game sprint. You're only going to get deGrom on the hill 12 times or so. And the lineup, look, I believe when I see it with Yoenis Cespedes playing all season long, Robinson Cano, nothing going to creep up. Alonso and McNeil, it's a lot to ask them to completely repeat in year two, although I think they're really good players. I think stock a little too high on the Mets. I think they have a disappointing under 31.5.
I reluctantly would agree with you, Sean, and I'll move on to the Dodgers and balance out my Met pain with who I hope will save us all from the end of your Yankee World Series drought. They are the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm taking an over on 38 wins, 42-18. A specific prediction for you, Sean, right now. 42-18 is how the Dodgers will storm through this 60-game regular season, setting themselves up perfectly to beat the Yankees in the World Series when we get to it in the fall.
All right. You know, it's funny you say that, Bogus, and it's going to sound really obnoxious because on the 4th of July, when a few of us had gathered at Bob's Bar as Yankee fans, we had a little too much to drink and we were starting to watch Yankee Classics, and a chant at midnight of 50 and 10 broke out. So if you were to say 48 and 12, it's funny because people are already thinking about what kind of wacky records you could have. All right. Those are our three over-unders. Keep it churning. Pete here. We each are going to make a World Series pick. I mentioned this on Twitter at MirazCBS earlier in the day. I think the Dodgers fall short here, Bogus. I think they'll be a playoff team, obviously, but I think the dreams of a playoff or a World Series for them don't happen. Look, sometimes it's not as easy as everybody makes it out to be. The wild assumption is Dodgers, Yankees, overwhelming favorites. They'll find themselves in a World Series. Not so fast. I will go yes for the Yankees. They have been long overdue here. It has been a long now 11 years since their last World Series of 2009. This is a team that's been knocking on the door only to be cheated out of World Series appearances by the Houston Astros and by apparently the Boston Red Sox over the last 3 years. The Yankees are so well stacked right now. I mean, their B team that they could trot out could finish in third place in the American League East. They are loaded. I mean, guys like Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar won't even be in the opening day lineup. I think the Yankees will win the World Series this year, but they will beat the Atlanta Braves, a mini comeback of a rivalry we saw in the 90s for multiple World Series in 96 and 99. I think the Atlanta Braves, and we see the two Eastern teams, which, by the way, I think Major League Baseball would love if we could only travel in one time zone for a World Series with all the Corona stuff going on. We will get Yankees-Braves with the Yankees winning the World Series is my pick.
I think they might love a Dodgers-Angels World Series or Cubs-White Sox or Mets-Yankees here already in one city. No travel, no matter what the time zone is. I'm going to be one of those uncreative people because I do think that on one hand, the 60-game schedule will throw some things off, but it also is going to let teams not run their guys into the ground over 162 games where the best teams will be the best and then be at their physical best in theory when we get to the postseason. And, you know, the Dodgers to me are just that good. I don't know that anybody else in the National League really could beat them in a series. So I've got the Dodgers. I've got the Yankees. I think their trip out of the AL might be slightly more treacherous. But even the teams that I think are good are historically not good against the Yankees when it matters most in October. So give me Yankees, give me Dodgers, and give me the Dodgers in six to finally get over the hump here and win another World Series, because they actually have a longer drought than your sweet little Yankees that we need to fix before we get to the Bronx.
I love Bogus going real technical, giving us the six games as well. We're not messing around here. I already gave you the
regular season record of 42-18, so I'm going to give you a six-game World Series win, too. It's all I got all the numbers for you.
So here we go. We have now one wacky 60-game season. Something goofy is going to happen. Prediction. Here's my prediction out of left field. Nope, for lack of a better term. The longest sports playoff drought is the Seattle Mariners since 2001. This is based on nothing with talent because the Mariners presumed should be another year or two away. Expanded playoffs or no expanded playoffs, the AL West is a weird division. I think we have high hopes for the Angels. The Astros, who really knows? They lose Gerrit Cole. They don't have their manager. That offseason has been weird for them. Does this now refresh them? Do they come back? Texas could be okay, pretty good. Through the vision of the wild card, or through the path of the wild card, the Seattle Mariners surprise the world with their best 60-game effort and get to the postseason, snapping what is the longest postseason drought of the four major sports. My wacky prediction, the Mariners make the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't go that wacky. This has been a topic on the show and in baseball in general about what the 60-game season will allow to happen statistically. I'm going to say someone hits 400 over these 60 games, Sean, and that I'm going to then lose my mind when people try and say that that person hit 400 in a season, like historically. If there ever was an asterisk. Now, a lot of the other numbers are counting numbers that we're not going to get to. We're not going to break a home run record. We're not going to break Hack Wilson's RBI record because there's just not enough games. But like ERA and batting average that are based on your, you know, your on playing time, so to speak, they can be broken. Those records can be broken in theory this season, but anything along those lines that happened in 60 games is not real. You cannot hit 400 over a 62-game season and get the same credit as 154 or 162. So someone's going to do it. People are going to try and pump it up like it actually happened, and I'm going to fight tooth and nail to at least just pull back and give some context on what that person did over 60 games.
It is the summer wind. It's Major League Baseball season. So just to recap quickly, I'm going Boston Red Sox under 31.5. The Blue Jays under 27.5. The Mets under 31.5. The Yankees over the Braves in a World Series. And the Mariners make the playoffs. Andrew Bogus, you.
Yeah, I went all over. Over the Angels, 31. Over the Cubs, 32.5. Over for the Dodgers at 38. I've got LA, those Dodgers, over the Yanks in the World Series. And I have someone angering me by hitting 400 over a 60-game season.
Here we go. Major League Baseball starts tonight. That was a lot of fun. Great job with Pete. Riding that baseball music. We're fired up. Baseball is back. When we come back, we're stunned to a news. Plus, is Al Davis still running the Raiders from the grave? Yes, all that to come next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes, we're back here on CBS Sports Radio. Refreshing to do some actual MLB predictions. It's Bogus, it's me, Mraz, DA, off enjoying his extended weekend. The summer of love for DA continues on. Sure he'll find himself some shellfish at some point this weekend. Oh, some sunsets, as Bogus said on his Instagram. Maybe some nice pictures of that grass that he keeps cutting all perfectly, watering all perfect.
Maybe the Jays could play there. There's a lot of space at Chateau Mendelara.
Exactly. And you know what? The lighting's perfect with those sunsets. I think that's the plan. I think you bring in, look, the Watch DA equipment's there already. You hook that up to whatever television, maybe, you know, Rogers Sportsnet or whatever, and the Blue Jays can play 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon games in DA's backyard. Uh-huh. It's perfect.
Not the Blue Jays, the Blue DAs. The Warwick Blue DAs.
Oh, no.
See? It works perfectly.
The Blue DAs, yes, because I think DA is a better grounds crew than the Blue Jays do. They only know how to deal with turf. I mean, that's some luscious grass back there. Then afterwards, they could take a nice walk over the Tappan Zee Bridge, and we'll get 14 pictures of that. DA will talk about how beautiful it is. And then I'm assuming everybody can go out to dinner under the tent of that great Mexican restaurant that he was preaching.
That's right.
So the Warwick Blue DAs, I think, are definitely on tap as they look for a home. So no easy pivot here. The Las Vegas Raiders. And boy, I don't know what's happened with Mark Davis all of a sudden. We can't stop talking about Mark Davis and the Raiders every day. Whether it's Mark Davis being pessimistic about the season, Mark Davis guaranteeing that he won't go to games unless the fans go. And now Mark Davis admitting possibly that his father is running the team from the grave? Look, everybody remembers the night of the NFL draft and all the lead up. It was, who is the first wide receiver off the draft board, Bogus? Is it Jerry Jeudy? Is it CeeDee Lamb? And this Henry Ruggs, he's a good player too. They're all first round talents. So the draft came, and pick after pick came, no wide receiver was taken. And here came the Raiders, looking for a playmaker to put outside there with Derek Carr. Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, both on the board. And the Las Vegas Raiders select Henry Ruggs. And there was a gasp. Ooh. From the big screen behind Roger Goodell with the Raider fans dressed up in the black hole. Henry Ruggs, we didn't go Jerry Jeudy? We're going to let Jerry Jeudy go to Denver? Why Henry Ruggs? And it's not to say Henry Ruggs isn't going to be a good football player. He may end up being the best receiver in this draft. He is a speed demon. But why, with the best two receivers on the board, the Raiders go with Henry Ruggs? Well, we now have our answer. According to a story done by Vic Taffer, who's covered the Raiders for a long time, Mark Davis said, quote, Henry Ruggs was the player I wanted the last 6 months. My dad was always trying to replace Cliff Branch. Speed, speed, speed. We really got away from that the last 6-7 years. We really didn't have anybody that could run. Hold on here. Hold on. I have no issue with loving Henry Ruggs' speed. I do have an issue with an owner of an NFL team remembering his father, who has passed away a long time now, and saying we still have to replace Cliff Branch. I mean, does that make you, if you're a Raider fan, and I know this year's going to be a little tough, probably no way you can get into a game, but if you're looking to invest in your season tickets in Vegas, you're exciting to come. Boy, you could change the city, but you can't change the circus here with the Raiders. Are you kidding me that Mark Davis is pointing to his dad still wanting to replace Cliff Branch in 2020, and that's why you drafted Henry Ruggs? That's why that was your pick over guys like Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb? Are we out of our minds?
Are those guys slow, by the way? Did I miss that point that Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb trip and fall
exactly
10
like
yards
it was Henry
into the 40-yard dash?
Right, it was Henry Ruggs or 10 receivers that run like me. I mean, come on!
Right. You got to get him. Only guy that can burn it. You know what? Any rationale that they'd be clinging to for 30 years, basically, would be broken here. I mean, it's amazing. And not to make light of the serious conversations we've had recently, but this also feels like grounds to have the NFL step in and change ownership if Mark Davis is still governing the Raiders based on his dad's wishes. His dad's been dead for 9 years, and the team has kind of been dead for much longer than that, because part of the reason is they kept drafting. No, but they kept drafting for speed, and that didn't work. And here we are in 2020, and again, he just keeps wanting to draft fast guys, even though they keep burning and crashing and not end up winning enough football games and divisions and playoff games, yet they're sticking to it. So they're going to be the Raiders no matter what, as long as the Davis family is in control.
Yeah, is Darius Hayward Bay, was that not Cliff Branch enough
right.
for you? I don't understand. Cliff Branch, Mark Davis is, I would venture to guess that 47 of the 53 people in your opening day roster don't even know who Cliff Branch is, and that's who you're chasing now when you're drafted a football team?
Just as fast as him.
How about just say, hey, we see what the Chiefs have done with Tyreek Hill. We wanted our own version, not my dad's wanted to replace Cliff Branch all these years. His father's been dead for damn near a decade, if not more. I've lost track of how long Al's been gone. And you're still worried about your father, who has passed for that long? With all due respect, and we respect Al Davis, that's not how you should be running a football team, because your dad still wants to replace Cliff Branch. Are we crazy, Mark Davis? Just when we thought you were saying sensible things, Bogus, sensible things like, I'm not going to step foot in my stadium until the fans are there. I'm going to be one with the people. You drop a, hey, I know my dad's not here anymore, hasn't been here in a long time, but he wants to replace Cliff Branch. So that was on my mind for 6 months heading into the draft. If I'm a Raider fan, I'm going nuts, going, hey, doofus, change your haircut and change your styles. No wonder. Al Davis probably put that stupid ball on top of Mark Davis's head, took the scissors out and cut around it one day, and Mark said, well, my dad's been chasing doing this haircut for years, and that's why I look like a Chucky doll. It's ridiculous.
Oh, and have a poor Mike Mayock. He walks into a draft meeting. He's got cut-ups. He's got a binder that's, you know, 3 feet high. He's done all this scouting, his whole staff. They walk in, and Mark Davis goes, who's fast? Oh, well, there's Henry Ruggs. Get it. Get him. Get me him now. Well, but you know, he's got this. And then there's Jerry. You said Ruggs. We need Cliff Branch. get me Ruggs, and all of their hard work is just out the window because Dead Al Davis wants fast dudes.
And let this be a reminder to Daniel Jeremiah, to Dane Brugler, to insert draft analyst here. I mean, Kiper, McShay, when you guys make your mock drafts, and we got to read 14 of them before we get to the actual NFL draft, remember that when you're scouting all these players, sometimes when you make a mock draft, you need to take into account, well, what would the owner's dead father have wanted the draft? Because apparently that's the route we're going here in round one of the NFL draft. All right, Bogus, I mean, let's get your...
let's just hope that Henry Ruggs is Cliff Branch so the Raiders can finally move on. Like, let's hope that... Imagine now, like, he's amazing. The pick is right, and now Mark Davis just goes, you know what, now it's, you guys can do the rest. We've got our Cliff Branch. Everything else is good.
No, because in 4 years, we're going to have to hear him say, Al's been whispering to me at night that we need to replace Kenny Stabler. So that's what's bound to happen here coming up. All right, Bogus, you got your last update?
Yeah, these ones are brought to you by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Pro boner.
Yesterday, we got our first glimpse of NBA action inside the Disney bubble. Four more scrimmage games today, starting with the Spurs and Bucks at 3 Eastern. We also got our first glimpse yesterday at Russell Westbrook at Rockets practice. He's now clear of COVID-19, hoping to be in playing shape.
We'll see once I get out there, but that's the last thing that I worry about, honestly, because before I had to quarantine, I was in pretty good shape, so...
Russ said he was able to do some conditioning work at home since his only symptom earlier this month was a stuffy nose. Today, though, is about baseball's much-delayed opening day. Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole on the mound as the Nationals host the Yankees at 7 Eastern. Mookie Betts celebrating opening day with a new 12-year extension, reportedly worth $365 million from the Dodgers. Betts already making a prorated $27 mil this summer. He's just 27, is already an MVP, and has won 4 consecutive Gold Gloves. He and the Dodgers host the Giants at 7 Pacific. All pitching mounds this weekend will have a Black Lives Matter logo stenciled on them. Teams will also honor the frontline workers in our battle with coronavirus. From the NFL, Washington signs number 2 pick Chase Young to the standard 4-year rookie deal. It includes a $22.6 million signing bonus. The Vikings reaching a multi-year extension with head coach Mike Zimmer. GM Rick Spielman should get one of those soon, too. Zimmer apparently was worried about his job security during negotiations, but now clearly they are all on the same page. And all charges stemming from a May 16th arrest against Bills D-lineman Ed Oliver have been dropped. Oliver failed a field sobriety test that night after being pulled over, but his blood test showed he was not under the influence. And since that's the case, a gun possession charge was dropped because it's only illegal in Texas to have a gun in your car if you are impaired. Soccer right now, Chicago and Vancouver are scoreless as the MLS tourney in Orlando continues. There last night, FC Cincinnati and Minnesota United clinched their spots in the knockout stage. Chicago held off Sky Blue FC 3-2 to reach the NWSL Challenge Cup finale. That's on Sunday against Houston. And it appears we will learn the identity of the NHL's new Seattle franchise at 9 Pacific today. And now, last but not least, we are studs.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So this one was sent to us from our good friend Moose in Wisconsin, who runs, for whatever reason, wasting his time, the Football Food of the Week Instagram account. And it was specifically sent with you and food in mind. I introduced to you Sam Lee, who is a 20-year-old junior at the University of Georgia, which is taking, obviously, online classes right now. And recently she was taking a test on her computer. As Sean might do, during said test, Miss Lee was also eating a meatball hero. And during dinner slash test taking, a meatball fell out of the sandwich onto her computer. And Sam admits that her first concern was that she was missing out on some meatball and that maybe it had messed up her computer since it is meat and saucy and cheesy. Then she looked and saw that the screen on which she was taking her test was gone. The meatball fell on a button that closed out the test-taking software, submitting her test before it was complete. There was no way to go back in and resume the test. So, after a couple of hours of deliberation, she wrote a note to her professor explaining exactly what happened. He wrote back and said, "You got a 39 on the test because you didn't finish it, and basically because your explanation was so insane, it has to be true. I'm turning the test back on. You have until midnight tonight to take it." So she went back and took it, and all things are good now. I think the moral of this story is not don't eat and take a test. It's when something crazy happens, honesty is usually the best policy. I've been this teacher. When someone tells you a story that's so outlandish, you have to believe it. She could have lied and probably not gotten the same help. But to be honest and go, "I dropped a meatball on my computer and it closed out the software," the teacher goes, "You know what? That's too good to not be true. So here's your test again and good luck, Sam."
So kudos to the teacher. You're right, because a person there maybe embarrassed by what would happen would go something like, "Oh, the computer froze. I don't know what happened. Logged out." And then it just sounds like an excuse. It's the old school dog ate my homework, which would never happen now because everything is so digitalized. I have been there, Bogish, and not to make light of this.
Situation about meatballs honestly, and tests.
with this happening. Now, in light of last week's oopsie, I could tell you that in the past, I absolutely had a situation where I was coming home from work. I think it was during the overnight days on the DA show, I think. And I was going a little faster than I should have been. The main reason, my stomach was really, really bothering me. And I was a mere 5 miles from home when suddenly a cop pulls me over. And my stomach is pounding and pounding and pounding. And the cop comes over and goes, "Do you know why he pulled you over?" I went right away. No, "Hey, here's... you know, whatever, officer, I'm sorry. Maybe I went right away with this. Officer, you pulled me over because I'm speeding, and I'm honestly speeding because I am afraid I'm going to go to the bathroom in my pants. I have, my stomach is killing me," whatever. This officer burst out laughing because I was talking a mile a minute and just pleading with him the case that if I don't get on the move here, it's going to be a situation. And he did not want that cleanup on the roadway. So he let me go because my story was so insane that it was true. And this is what I'm talking about. If a meatball falls on your computer and it clicks you off in the middle of a test, just admit, "Hey, I was slogging a meatball sandwich and it clicked." And I can tell you, as somebody who's eaten plenty of meatballs in my life and has also worked in the food industry for a place that made meatball sandwiches, meatballs can be quite dense, and if clicked on a button at the right time, can absolutely log you off. So I do believe this story, Bogish.
You know, you mentioned your sandwich artistry past, and that reminds me of a story I think that I told as a trash the very early stages of the DA show's movement to the morning time, where I was in a Subway and a guy got the meatball sub from Subway. Now, in New York, I'd argue, you cannot get a meatball sub from Subway because there's a pizza place on every corner that would give you an exponentially better one. But this guy did that. What he certainly can't do was then he went down the counter and got all of the normal toppings that you would put on a regular cold cut. He put lettuce and tomato and other veggies on his meatball parm hero.
Happens all
that,
the time.
You should almost go to jail for that.
So, Bogus, I'm glad you mentioned this. As somebody who worked at Subway for many years, and they were very good to me, this happens all the time. And the first time it happened, I was a young kid, probably 16 years old, going, "What the heck is wrong with this person?" And you realize it happens all the time. You would think normal people like me and you, we go in, you order the meatballs, okay, you toast the bread, you melt some mozzarella or even some provolone on there, maybe a little grated cheese and some oregano on the way out the door, you're done. That's all you need on top of it. But what happens here, Bogus, at a place like a Subway or a place like a Chipotle, one of these places where there's a food line that you're ordering as you go, is you feel, because each of these items is a free additional item, that you are entitled to such. So just because the lettuce, the tomato, I've seen cucumbers, I've seen banana peppers, I've seen all sorts of wacky things on meatballs, because they are free, you feel like, "I'm in here, I'm spending this money on the sandwich, I might as well get as much food as I want." And it becomes brutal. Now, what also happens is you have a lot of the loophole people that want you to argue with them. And what I mean by the loophole people is you order a meatball sandwich and they will go, hey, I'm traveling, a little sandwich going to get soggy. Can I get my lettuce, my tomato, my cucumber, my pickle all on the side, a little side, like soup bowl cup we would give? And what they're looking there to do is just build themselves a side salad with their meatball sub, and they know they're not going to charge me for a salad because I'm entitled to my sandwich toppings, and I don't want this getting soggy. So you have the loophole people. You have the people who just throw it right on a sandwich, but it happens all the time. And I would have to guess that this girl taking the test just went meatballs and sauce. If she has enough integrity to eat that while doing a test, she ain't slopping tomatoes and lettuce falling off that sandwich.
Oh, no. There's a picture because she actually posted on social media, like her looking at her meatball sub angrily after it took her test offline. It's a legit sub. It's got real Italian bread, real meatballs. Not sure if mom made it, but it's definitely, it was not made at a franchise Subway shop. It was made by, I would think, an Italian restaurant or something. Or even maybe they've got nice on-campus stuff near, you know, at Georgia. Well, no, she's at home at this point. But no, it's a legit sandwich. But there's so much to unpack about the Subway thing with you and the toppings. I mean, we've all done it. Like, oh, you know what, that's free, throw it on. But you can't compromise what you're throwing it on just because it's free. And lettuce and tomato does not work on a meatball parm hero. You can't do it. If I was you, I would have said, you know what, sir? We all have our rights in this country. I can't build you this sandwich. And I would have tapped out and made somebody else do it.
Bogus, if it's one or two people, it's one thing. I am telling you, it is not a rare occurrence for people to load up all the toppings on a Subway meatball sandwich. I know it shocked you. It's not a rare occurrence. We can talk more in the PGP of that if you remember next week. Get into it because I got plenty of stories, that's for sure. All right, we come back. Deep analytics. It's opening day, so of all the baseball movies we did, there's two superstars, Henry Rowengardner and Roy Hobbs. Who would you rather have on your opening day roster? We do deep analytics on that, plus the epic fail. Do you know the four countries that are in the United Kingdom? Because I certainly didn't. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Oh, opening day was here, and we've done a lot of Mothership at the Movies as we've passed time without our team sports, Bogus. So we asked the question of our two of our baseball stars in these movies, who would you rather have on your opening day roster if this was the real major leagues? Roy Hobbs or Henry Rowengardner? And Bogus, alert, we have a splitting of the masses on Twitter. Whoa. They went with your Roy Hobbs at 55%, Henry Rowengardner at 45%, but on Facebook, the Rowengardner crowd shined. 54% would rather have Henry Rowengardner on Facebook on their opening day roster. 46% would have rather have Roy Hobbs. A little deep analytics done by our deep dive team. Henry Rowengardner's fastball topped out at 103 miles per hour in 2019. In 2019... The average fastball velocity for a pitcher in the big leagues was 93.5. So, like I told you, Bogus, Henry Rowengardner throwing pitches that fast, that's a guy absolutely more valuable to your opening day roster than that injury-prone and can't-stay-out-of-gunfight-fighting Roy Hobbs. Give me Rowengardner on my opening day roster. I'm with Facebook.
I mean, you can have Facebook. I'll take Twitter, which is clearly the better platform these days. But really, like our country does, we have to break this tie by going to the normally completely down the middle and objective one, Pete the Body Bellotti. I think he has the final say on this matter to break this tie. We cannot live in tie. This is not old school hockey. We're soccer. We need a winner. So we bring in the body to break this.
Henry Rowengardner all the way. No doubt.
Wow. Wow.
Letting me down again. First the text at 5:15 on Monday, and now this.
5:14.
5:14.
Wow. Real quickly, remind me, who was Gina Davis's character in A League of Their Own?
Dottie Henson.
Dottie Henson.
Yeah, Dottie Henson.
Let me just throw another quick fastball at you. Who would you rather have as your opening day catcher? Jake Taylor from Major League? Dottie Henson? Or, of course, the great Hambino from The Sandlot?
Yeah, I think the answer is Dottie because I can't project the Hambino enough to know what he's going to be as a full-fledged adult. So that would eliminate him. And I love Jake Taylor. I mean, Major League is an all-timer. He was turns up to be a successful manager as well. But, I mean, physically where he was when we last saw him behind the plate, you can't take him either. So Dottie wins, but not by default. Dottie wins because she's in her prime. and can do catches. You know, she's a leader. She's doing splits, making catches. She's hitting home runs. It's got to be Dottie.
Yeah, I would go Dottie Henson as well. And she would rake in the majors in today's league. That power, yeah. that double gap power. She'd be great with OPS. Give me a Dottie Henson as well. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Okay, we had Bob's Bar's favorite Kerrigan call on the show today. Thought he just wanted to make an opening day take, but he took me by surprise after that Woody Johnson story. Merez, can you name the countries in the United Kingdom? And to my surprise, there was more than just England. It's today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Friend of the show, I will say friend of mine, Kerrigan is at LaGuardia. Kerrigan, you're on the DA show.
Before I get into some opening day take, Sean, can you name the countries that Woody Johnson is the ambassador to?
It's the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom. So you mean to tell me that the United Kingdom is more than England?
What did you say?
That is correct. Can you name the other countries?
Wales.
Okay, that's one.
Wow, that's okay. Ireland?
No.
Scotland?
That is another. That's correct. We got one more.
Greenland?
Nope.
Iceland?
At least these are all countries.
These are countries, largely islands.
One more. Another island?
It is
Liverpool.
It is part of Ireland. Liverpool is a city in the United Kingdom.
I am so confused.
So hold on. I've gotten Wales, I've gotten Scotland, and I've gotten England.
We got one more.
And one more.
And you've half said it already.
That's where Rory McIlroy is from.
I half said it already?
Yes.
So it's like Greenland.
It's more like Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ire Islands.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
Oh. No, that's a part of the Republic of Ireland, but please try again.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know. Give it to me. I don't want to embarrass myself anymore.
Northern Ireland.
Of course.
Hold on here. Hold, and we might have a real-time failure set up. You mean to tell me that there's two countries, an Ireland and a Northern Ireland, and Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, but Ireland is not?
Sean, there was a period of time of great unrest along these two countries, which we don't have time to go into. But yes, they are. One is, they're both part of the European zone. They use different currencies. There's a lot that goes into it, a religion, fights, but two different countries.
I never heard of Northern Ireland before. How about that?
It's amazing we went to the same high school, Sean.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
See, that West Babylon Long Island education, not all that bad, folks.
Somebody was paying attention.
When he said you're close in the Ireland, and I went with the Ireland Islands or whatever I was going for, it dawned on me. The reason I was saying that is I think in the back of my mind I was thinking about the water island in Game of Thrones. For some reason I brought to real life, and I already forgot the name of that.
The Iron Islands.
And I think for some reason I just put Game of Thrones in the real United Kingdom, and that's what happened. All right, that'll do it for the DA show today. It is opening day, so enjoy some baseball tonight. Yankees, Nats, followed by Dodgers, Giants. Bogish and I will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern, to break it all down, and Doug Glanville will join the show as well. We thank Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, James Baccioni as your executive producer, the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. It's Mraz. Bogish, thanks so much, brother. See you tomorrow.
Let's go, Nats.
Let's go, Yankees, and that'll do it. The mothership disconnects.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.